If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Answering Mormons Questions, published by Kriegel. Written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, Answering Mormons Questions includes a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. Answering Mormons Questions can be ordered online at MRM.org or at your favorite Christian bookstore. Be ready to give an answer. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an article in the March 2016 edition of Ensign Magazine titled The Three Gardens of God. It was an article attributed to Bruce McConkie, who was a Mormon apostle who died in 1985. And one thing that interests me about this, Eric, is to bring McConkie back into the limelight. Not that they've ever totally distanced themselves from Bruce McConkie, but you notice how many times whenever we bring up Bruce McConkie's name with some LDS people, they tend to roll their eyes and act as if Bruce McConkie was not really even a figure in Mormon history.
How many times have we heard Brother Bruce's opinion and just the rolling of the eyes, as you say? I think that is interesting as well, that occasionally they'll bring back McConkie, and here we go. A whole article in this issue, and it's the centerpiece.
And what I find fascinating about this is, once again, we see an article in the Ensign magazine that is teaching traditional Mormonism. And the reason we want to bring that up, folks, is because we do get a lot of well-meaning Christians who are under the impression that Mormonism is somehow changing direction and moving towards a more orthodox consensus. This article does not tend to prove that to me. Although, one thing that we do readily recognize, this is not the complete speech that Bruce McConkie gave in 1985. Because if you look at the back of the article, it says at the very end, from, quoting, the title of his conference message, which was The Purifying Power of Gethsemane. It was printed in the Ensign magazine for May of 1985. Now, when you compare this article with what McConkie said in his conference message, we estimated that probably about half of his message is not included in this article.
And we had speculated maybe they didn't think they had enough room, but this is 6 pages, and 3 of the 6 pages are pictures, are paintings. 3 paintings on each of these pages that just doesn't seem like they were missing room. They could have easily made that happen. Either eliminate a few of those paintings or perhaps at least have more than just half of this talk, if this talk is so important.
And I would think that a Mormon would think that the talk was important, because certainly Bruce McConkie felt that what he said in this conference address was important. And we need to give you a little bit of background. This was given on April 8, 1985, and as we mentioned in a general conference message, Bruce McConkie was dying at this time. He already knew that he had cancer. Even though it seemed to have gone in remission some years before, it was back, and he would die 11 days after this message was given. So this is Bruce McConkie's last conference message.
And toward the end of the talk, he actually ends up becoming very emotional.
When you listen to him, he certainly is emotional. There's no doubt that in the last minute of that talk that he was very emotional in trying to get the last few words out from his message. But what we wanted to go through was this article as it's printed in the Ensign magazine, but maybe not go through it paragraph by paragraph, though some of it we have to. But then we wanted to go through and talk about the areas of this conference message that did not make its way into this March 2013 edition of Ensign magazine, because there are some things that McConkie said in this message that we find to be historically inaccurate, as well as theologically inaccurate, or in some cases where he embellishes a story in the New Testament and gives details that are not found anywhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the Gospels, whether they are the Synoptic Gospels or the Gospel of John, nor is it even found in the Joseph Smith translation of the Bible. So let's go through this by starting off by reading, how does this article begin?
It says, "I feel, and the Spirit seems to accord, that the most important doctrine I can declare and the most powerful testimony I can bear is of the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. His atonement is the most transcendent event that ever has or ever will occur from creation's dawn through all the ages of a never-ending eternity. It is a supreme act of goodness and grace that only a God could perform. Through it, all of the terms and conditions of the Father's eternal plan of salvation become operative."
I find it interesting that he uses the phrase "a God" and "grace that only a God" mm-hmm. could perform. Now, that's certainly not language that a biblical Christian would use. Now, certainly a Mormon such as Bruce McConkie could use that, because within the Godhead, there are three separate gods, not even to mention the idea that Mormons believe that they themselves can become gods, or that their God is the offspring of another God further back. But in that phrase, it is the supreme act of goodness and grace that only a God could perform. Right there, we're getting some signals that we are talking about a difference of deities here.
Now, Bill, they did not include the next two paragraphs that were in the original May 1985 Ensign, and I think it's important that we read those two paragraphs. Here's what it says. "Through it are brought to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Through it, all men are saved from death, hell, the devil, and endless torment. And through it, all who believe and obey the glorious gospel of God, all who are true and faithful and overcome the world, all who suffer for Christ and his word, all who are chastened and scourged in the cause of him whose we are, all shall become as their maker and sit with him on his throne and reign with him forever in everlasting glory."
Well, let me stop you there, because I think that last paragraph that you just read has something that's worthy of note. "And through it, all who believe and obey the glorious gospel of God." Now, certainly Mormonism contains within its theology, very definitely, a doctrine of works, many works.
And that's even current leadership. So it's interesting they did not include that, but that is not something that has changed in Mormonism over the years.
But when he says, "all shall become as their maker and sit with him on his throne and reign with him forever in everlasting glory," how is a Mormon supposed to understand that expression?
Well, especially since if that's the case, that we're going to sit with our maker, which is Heavenly Father, according to Mormonism, then we have to ask the question, is Heavenly Father sitting with his God in some kind of a throne?
I think that's a fair question to ask, because as we have discussed many times on this show, Mormon manuals and Mormon leaders have emphasized the fact that when a Mormon is qualified to become a god, to receive exaltation or eternal life as it's understood, he will be rewarded with his own world, as Heavenly Father, the God of Mormonism, was rewarded with this world, and perhaps even other worlds. We don't even know how many other worlds Heavenly Father may have under his jurisdiction. But the fact remains, Mormons have been led to believe by many of its past leaders that when they get their own world, they will rule over that world, and they will repeat a process that's been going on since eternity past. And you make a very good observation here. If we, according to Bruce McConkie, are going to sit with Heavenly Father on his throne, and I'm sure that's metaphorical right there, because how many of us can actually sit in one throne? But if we're going to reign with him forever in everlasting glory, what does that mean? Are we going to be ruling with him? Do we have the same kind of authority? Now, Mormons would say not necessarily, because in Mormonism, the God of Mormonism will always reign supreme over all of his creation here
right.
on earth. So
right.
we will never attain that like authority. He will always have more than us. But I think that still lends to many question marks, and perhaps why it did not find its way into this article.
Then the article continues and says, "In speaking of these wondrous things, I shall use my own words, though you may think they are the words of Scripture, words spoken by other apostles and prophets. True it is that they were first proclaimed by others, but they are now mine. For the Holy Spirit of God has borne witness to me that they are true, and it is now as though the Lord has revealed them to me in the first instance. I have thereby heard his voice and know his word.
Does that sound to you like Bruce McConkie is giving this talk, this conference message, a little bit of a special emphasis that you better listen if you're a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Now, we already know that Mormons are supposed to look at conference messages as certainly having much more authority in the lives of the Latter-day Saints than, let's say, an average fireside talk. But he sounds like he's really giving it a special emphasis here that you better listen to what he has to say.
And I think he said that in the first part of the talk as well, when he said, I feel, and the Spirit seems to accord, that the most important doctrine I can declare, and it's the atonement of Jesus Christ. So he seems to be starting off by saying, this is a pretty powerful message, as you're talking about in that paragraph I just read, that this is something that every Latter-day Saint needs to listen to and abide by.
Now, when he starts off by saying, true it is, they were first proclaimed by others, but they are now mine, for the Holy Spirit of God has borne witness to me that they are true. Now, when you hear a Mormon apostle say something like that, you would think that the average member's ears would perk up and listen. And I think that's the point we're trying to make here, folks. This was not just another talk in the life of Bruce McConkie. At least I don't get that impression. This is the last message that he is going to give in a general conference pulpit. And so now he's going to proceed to explain to us the understanding in Mormonism regarding the atonement.
Now, something that we need to say, at this point, the article in the March 2016 edition of the Inside Magazine eliminates 32 consecutive paragraphs and then picks it up after that. And there's a lot that's missed, I think, that, again, I'm wondering why the church did not reprint the entire thing. Well, I think we're going to find some things that are pretty interesting in here, including some of the history that Bruce McConkie gives.
So since we've run out of time, tomorrow we want to pick up in this speech that McConkie gave, the portions that were left out of the article, The Three Gardens of God, which begins on page 41 in the March 2016 edition of Ensign Magazine. And I think you're going to find this to be quite fascinating because there's some interesting doctrinal teachings that McConkie presented in that talk, and it only makes you wonder, why didn't they repeat them in this particular edition? And as you pointed out, Eric, there was plenty of room for them to do it because they wasted about 3 pages worth just showing various pictures in this article. So tomorrow we're going to continue The Three Gardens of God by Bruce R. McConkie.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.